Why do we shoot?
Welcome to Through My Lens with Clay Daly.
And by shoot, I mean, why do we create images? A lot of photographers seem to be in the game, for lack of a better word. They seem to be in the game to try to become, quotation marks here, influencers. They hope that perhaps a brand that they love shooting with will notice them. You know, I wouldn't mind actually having the brands that I use notice me. But what comes with that? What comes along with being noticed by these companies who create the tools that we use to create the art that we enjoy? Now, if you do create photography or any other sort of artistic endeavors, you really should want to be in love with the process, even if no one loves the output. But why do we shoot? Because if the end goal is to ultimately end up with your work being appreciated by big brands, I think the majority of people will be unhappy. There are a few people who get noticed. I know that on Shutter Time with Cinemac, they have Brian Manier, who is a Fuji X shooter. And that's not a common thing, right? You don't have common occurrences of photographers being ambassadors or influencers for the big brands. You have Jason Lanier for Sony, and you have a few other people. It's not that important, though. The discussion here is, once you do become an influencer, do you still have the same passion for the photography? Or is it that once you become an influencer, you are now only producing work to try to stay an influencer? Or is it really just part of helping you become more engaged with the process? So let's say if you do become an ambassador for one of these brands, they will give you the gear now. Now, does that make it easier for you to just go ahead and create the work that you wanted to create in the first place? Or will you now get influenced by the fact that you have to maintain this status? And so it's sort of like a chicken and egg thing, right? Now that you are an influencer, you want to stay an influencer, so you will put out work, perhaps, that will keep you an influencer. Or is it that the fact that you are an influencer, it doesn't matter what you put out there, because the people who follow you will like what you do regardless? And yeah, of course, you have a bunch of trolls who will not like what you do. I look at Matt Day, for instance. He has, you know, had people be very upset with him for going to the Sony system that he's shooting now. And I don't see anything wrong with that. Because guess what? The Sony system is actually doing for him what he needs to do to get his work out. And so I don't see why people would get upset with him for choosing a system that works for him. Now, he's not a Sony ambassador or influencer or whatever Sony calls their people. He might be soon, who knows, but because he does have a large following on Instagram. But that is the downfall, is to be so large in terms of followings. You actually will have people attack you for things like this, right? So why worry about what people say? In his case, especially, there are many times when I messaged him and said, don't worry about what people say, because it looks like he actually took it to heart when people attacked him for that. And maybe if he actually did become a Sony influencer, maybe people would actually just accept it and leave him be. But then if you do become an influencer, you can't anymore be free enough to say, I am a Sony ambassador and I'll shoot the new Nikon, because you might get dropped by Sony. So therefore, in a way, you're sort of shackled. You're not able to express yourself with another piece of gear, because now you're in bed with Sony, or you're in bed with Nikon, or whoever the ambassador is, whoever you're an ambassador for. Now, the reason why I'm actually thinking about this now is that Instagrammer Daryl Aiden Yao. He was considered, I think, a Sony, I don't know what Sony calls him, but he called himself a Sony ambassador ally or something. It turned out, though, that Sony, after having his images posted on their side. And basically, Sony being very happy that he was using Sony gear create his images, they actually created a section on the Sony's website to promote him. But it turned out that a bunch of his images, Mothership, the news site Mothership, identified dozens of images of his that were actually stock images. And these images were from Shutterstock and canned stock photo. And oh yeah, guess what? Unsplash.com. You know, the hellfire that is Unsplash, that is. Now, why is it that he went through all this trouble to plagiarize, basically? And I say the reason for this is, it's a sort of chicken and egg thing here, right? He wanted to become famous. So he did whatever he did to become famous. He became famous or infamous. And then now he had to keep up this charade. And so he basically plagiarized so he could keep creating images that were of high quality. Quotation mark, high quality. So this whole cycle of people wanting to become influencers, I think actually is negative for the majority of photographers. I think the main goal with your photography should be to create, number one, for yourself. Number two, for those in your vicinity, like family. Create work that they could enjoy. And then lastly, number three, I would say then create for others. But do not create for others to the point of giving up your own freedom and also giving up your ethics. Don't become a thief. It's not worth it, right? It just isn't. Another plagiarizer, the angry photographer who basically attacks everyone online. I mean, he is just an angry person. You know, at one point, he actually showed off images that he created, and it turned out they were stolen. And Jason Lanier actually met with him to try, to show him that, you know, that he could actually see him as a person. But it turned out, just look up the angry photographer and Jason Lanier, it turned out that he actually is a vile person who is also a plagiarizer. So why is the angry photographer doing the things that he does, right? If he actually is creating work, why is he doing it? And what was the point of the whole plagiarism? You know, showing other people's work on his YouTube videos. What is that? What does that do for the person who is showing the work? Does that make you feel good? I could not pass someone else's work off as my own. As many people who know me online know that if I'm not creating work that I'm satisfied with, I'm not putting it out there. And guess what? If I'm not putting it out there, it just means my feeds are slightly empty. I'm not going to go and puff it up with a bunch of stolen images. It's not worth it. So I think it's very important when you're creating work, and in this case, when you're creating photography, like most people who are probably listening to this, or anything else that is artistic, and, you know, painting, coding, right? Creating apps, that can be artistic, I think. Why are you doing it? When you get to that answer, then ask the next question. And be very, very careful here. The next question should be, if I have to plagiarize, then really, why am I doing it? Because if you're plagiarizing, you're not doing it. You're stealing it. All right. Now, last week, Linus Edwards released a podcast. Well, he creates a podcast called The Slow Podcast. And he released an episode featuring me, Clay. It was actually a really, really good episode. We did an hour plus discussion, me and him. It was actually a really fun discussion. We talked about photography, camera gear, the art of photography somewhat. And he actually brought that down to 31 minutes. I don't know how he did it, but he did it, and it was great. And I don't usually listen to myself with enthusiasm. I think my accent, even though people tell me my accent isn't weird, I think my accent is just not normal. Like, sometimes I wish I sounded more American, I guess. But I try. It doesn't work. To sound like an American just sounds really weird coming from me. So, but yeah, like I said, go listen to that episode. It's really good. Not just that episode. I mean, go listen to that show. All of the episodes are good. The one with Andre and Andrew J. Clark before me is actually really good as well. I would probably say that's probably my favorite episode. Yeah, that would probably have to be my favorite episode. So yeah, go check it out. And the next thing I would have to say is go listen to my other show, my first show, and that is Cybercast, with my co-host Dick Daly, who is my brother. We have Tosh Pollack and Ty Pollack, and that is a technology show. And we have a segment usually on most episodes, not every episode, but most episodes, we have this segment called The Music Corner, which Tosh just knocks out the park. Like, music is his life. He has a deep passion for it. And it shows. When he's doing Music Corner, it shows. And every time he does it, I either have a deeper appreciation for something I already liked, or I have something new to go and explore. A new artist, a new producer, just something new that I just didn't know about. And so, you know, I would say, you know, go give that show a listen. I'm really proud of that show. It's something that I wanted to do for a long time. I wanted the podcast. Like, before it was even called podcasting, I used to listen to Brooke Jensen, and I loved those little snippets he would put out about what he's thinking at the moment, or if he went traveling to China, you know, his little notes discussing his thinking process while he was there. Podcasting has been something that I wanted to do for a very long time, and now I'm doing it, and I'm doing it at several places. yeah, so yeah, go listen to Cybercast at CYBRCAST, or just type Cybercast into any of your podcatcher app. The third show that I'm on as well is Bubble Sort Show. Actually, it's a cool URL. It's bubblesort.show. I kind of like those URLs, you know, .fm and .show, and I think is .audio a thing? I think .audio might be or will become a thing. And that show is done with my co-hosts John Chigi and Vic Hudson, and it's a fun show that's supposed to happen every other week. and actually, Cybercast is supposed to happen every other week as well, but that became a monthly show. And Bubble Short is supposed to be every other week, but it's sometimes once a month, sometimes every other week. Depends on what we're doing. And it's a really fun conversations about mostly Apple stuff, I would say. But actually, let me change that. It's mostly Apple Watch stuff. no, not just mostly Apple Watch. It's just a bunch of discussions about Apple Watch, Apple products, just technology discussions, and it's actually fun. A fun show to do, and a fun show to listen to. And the last few openings of that show have been really funny. So go check that out at bubblesort.show, or search for Bubble Sort Show on your favorite podcaster app. So this is going to be it, and I will catch you next time. Or, you know, no, I won't catch you next time. You'll catch me next time. Okay, so for the after show, guess what? There is another show that I have appeared on, I think twice now. Yes, twice. And that is Shutter Time. And the last time was a Black Couch session. Okay, so it was Antonio Rosario, Mark Ryerson, myself, and Mac, the co-host. That was a really fun session. It was Shutter Time 197. So go check that out as well. Really good, really good, good session. We were quite open and raw, especially the others. They were definitely far more raw and open than I was. I mean, I was open. It's just that I think my issue is that I kind of have given up on sort of online a little bit. So I didn't have much to say, but it did feel good hearing others feeling the way I perhaps felt in the past. And the thing that makes me feel good about what I'm doing is that I still create, and the creating is for self, for myself, and for my family. And currently, I'm hoping to have my son enjoy this process with me, and we do create art together. For the most part, it is painting and instant photography, and oh my gosh, video is his thing. I suck at video, but he loves it, and he creates amazing video. I actually just bought him a new projector for his room, so he can put his movies up from his iPad on his wall, which he loves. So yeah, go check all of these shows out. I just wanted to do this after the ending discussion real quick about Shutter Time, because it is actually one of these shows that I really, really do enjoy. And it's great to be on there, because I haven't been on with Sid yet. maybe Sid and I are the same person, and so we can't be in the same place at the same time, even though we're at opposite ends of the continent. But yeah, go check that out. It's definitely a fun listen. All right, ciao.